wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to Big Q&A. This is the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. This is the show where we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. I hope you're all doing great today. I'm Pastor Ricardo, your Drive Time host and minister to the Prospect International and Elizabeth Seventh-day Adventist Churches, coming to you live from the beautiful city of Adelaide. And I'm so glad to say that the weather is changing so far. Wherever you're tuning in, I pray that you will find the next hour insightful, inspiring, and positively different. The overall theme we're exploring this week is Christianity in History. How positive was its contribution? Now, yesterday we had an overview look about Christianity's contribution throughout history. And the reality is, dear friends, that this world would be a much better place to live in if we would all follow Christ's principles. So today the big question is, was Christianity bad news for slaves? And I have Pastor Marty with me in the Faith FM studio to guide us through our study today. Marty is a pastor of Sterling Seventh-day Adventist Church and Grace Adventist Center, right here in Adelaide as well. And it's good to have you here once again, Marty. Welcome.
Oh, it is great to be here, Pastor Ricardo. And what a beautiful day it has been. The rain is starting to pitter-patter a little bit, but I tell you what, it was about 20 degrees. It must have been about 9:30 this morning, and I thought, this is good. Yes. This is good news. There's good weather is on its way.
Exactly. Dear listener, whoever you are, I think it's always important that we all take time to spend in nature, to breathe some, you know, pure air and receive the sunlight. It is always, you know, a positive thing that will actually make us more effective. We think that if we work without stopping, we will achieve more. But, you know, taking a break is important as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you're chopping a piece of wood and you don't take time to eventually, you know, sharpen the axe, you're going to get tired. And, when you rest, it gives you a time to just sharpen and you can just be more efficient. It's, we actually talked a little bit about this as a pastoral team yesterday. We talked about the importance of rest.
That's right.
And, sometimes I thought that was really cool. You know, even Jesus needed to sleep.
Even him.
Even Jesus needed to sleep. I mean, this is the Son of God and even he needed to rest when he became a man, and so we do too. Absolutely, we do
yes.
too.
And God has designed us so that we need rest as well. We cannot work 24/7. We need a day of rest. That's why it's important to stop and to re-energize, to reconnect with God in a special way on his holy day, and then start again. It's been designed by God that way. So we work best if we take a rest,
absolutely.
We take a break.
Absolutely. We say that to our kids all the time. We say, you play best when you've had a rest.
Oh, that's nice.
Because, you know, when children, particularly young children, haven't rested properly, they become very, you know, they get a short fuse. They become a bit irritable.
Yes.
They get a temper. And we're exactly the same as adults, aren't we?
We are the same.
You know, when we haven't rested well, we are a bit more irritable, a bit more grouchy,
yes.
And it's nature's miracle, isn't it? You know, because I guess we don't fully understand sleep. It's quite in some ways it is a little bit mysterious, but we desperately need it. We know that we need it, and when we don't get enough of it, there's really serious consequences. Hey, so hopefully this is helpful to someone because, you know, our topic's not necessarily on sleep today, but hopefully there's someone today who's listening in and says, hey, you know what? I'm going to try and get that 7 to 9 hours tonight. Mm.
Yeah, we're actually going to be talking about slavery and what the Bible says about it, but we can also talk about being freed from workaholism.
that a lot of people work without stopping. And one of the things that was mentioned during our pastoral meeting yesterday that I actually liked a lot was that some studies have proved that if we work for periods of 25 minutes and then take a little break, we actually achieve more than if we were to work, for example, 4 hours without stopping. That is actually interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know that to be true in my own experience.
Yes.
You know, if you focus for, you know, really focus for 25 minutes and you have a short break and get back into it, you're much more efficient.
Yes.
Your brain doesn't, you know, you become weary if you are sitting looking at the screen for too long trying to work things out. It's good even just to, there's even benefit of just standing up, going for a little bit of a walk, and then
take a breath, and it actually helps you see the big picture, because if you stay focused on one thing for so long, you get bogged with the details. But if you take a break, you think about it with a different perspective, and it helps you to see the big picture. And sometimes you come back and you have a solution for something that were, you know, you were drowning in a glass of water, maybe.
Spoken like a true engineer, Pastor Ricardo.
Yeah, it's been a long time, actually. But for today's topic, I have an article to share from Associated Press, September 23rd, 2024. Remember, the question that we're going to be dealing with has to do with slavery and what the Bible says about it. So this article is entitled New York City Lawmakers Approve Bill to Study Slavery and Reparations. New York City lawmakers approved legislation Thursday to study the city's significant role in slavery and consider reparations to descendants of enslaved people. They want to make up to them and somehow. If signed into law, the package of bills passed by the city council would follow in the footsteps of several other municipalities across the U.S. that have sought ways to address the country's dark history, as well as a separate New York State commission that began working this year. New York fully abolished slavery in 1827. But businesses, including the predecessors of some modern banks, continued to benefit financially from the slave trade, likely up until 1866. So around during 40 years after slavery was abolished, they still benefited from slavery financially. The lawmakers behind the proposals noted that the harms caused by the institution are still felt by Black Americans today. The reparations movement is often misunderstood as merely a call for compensation. Council member Farah Lewis, a Democrat who sponsored one of the bills, told the City Council on Thursday. She explained that systemic forms of oppression are still impacting people through redlining, environmental racism, and services in predominantly Black neighborhoods that are underfunded. The bills still need to be signed by Democratic Mayor Eric Adams. City Hall signaled his support in a statement calling the legislation another crucial step towards addressing systemic inequities, fostering reconciliation, and creating a more just and equitable future for all New Yorkers. The bills would direct the city's Commission of Racial Equity to suggest remedies to the legacy of slavery, including reparations. It would also create a truth and reconciliation process to establish historical facts about slavery in the state. Your call and your ancestors' call for reparations had not gone unheard. Linda Tigani, executive director of the Racial Equity Commission, said at a news conference ahead of the council vote. Interesting news. Slavery is something that did not leave a good legacy at all. And now when we consider slavery, and we talk about the Bible, I've heard people say, for example, that they think that the Bible supports slavery just because the Bible talks about slavery. right? And the truth is that the Bible also talks about polygamy, for example. Mm. And it doesn't mean that the Bible supports polygamy. I believe that God is a very, very transparent. And in the Bible, he has left us with good examples and bad examples, things that we need to imitate and things that we don't have to do because the consequences will be disastrous, not good for us. And that's why we see examples of slavery in the Bible, not because God is happy with that, but that's the reality that took place.
I agree. You know, there are many parts of the Bible that are descriptive, not prescriptive.
True.
In other words, the Bible describes situations that did take place, mm. but it's not necessarily saying that this was God's plan, that this was his ideal. Mm. You know, and we live in a world where there is sin, where there is evil. Mm-hmm. And how does God work with humanity in a situation that is just so far from ideal?
Yes.
And so when we read about these passages concerning slavery, we recognize that I think in many ways God is essentially providing the best case scenario. He's pointing us towards that ideal, but he's recognizing that humanity is going to do things that are less than ideal. Mm. And how do we work with people who are, not necessarily going to, create a heaven on earth, if you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. How does that work? And certainly there are many passages in the Bible that do talk about slavery or servanthood and this kind of thing. And so, yeah, it'll be good to study and have a look at these passages in the Bible.
And it's true. There's so many things that are told about in the Bible, but it's not necessarily that was God's plan. For example, Israel having kings. That was not God's idea, but God had to put up with the requirements or the desire of Israel to copy the other nations because of their stubbornness. And another verse that comes to mind is in Matthew 5 and 6, when Jesus talked about the stubbornness of the people of Israel. He clarified that in the past, divorce was accepted, but it was not something that God liked. It was just because of the stubbornness of the people, right? Slavery comes into the same category, I would say.
Yeah.
Something that happened, but God tried to deal with that the best way he could.
Absolutely. And you know, I think it's quite obvious to say this, but I think it's important to recognize as well that, slavery was something that was just a worldwide phenomenon. Mm. This was something that every powerful nation, used slaves. Mm-hmm. Whether you go back to ancient Egypt, if you look at any of those ancient cultures, even at the time of Christ in the Greco-Roman world, slavery was a common thing. And so how do you work with a culture that is absolutely entrenched in slavery? Mm. You know, there's probably things in our culture today that we don't necessarily recognize as bad, but you know, that they're probably not ideal. Mm-hmm. And God works with people.
Yes.
And so I think that, but I think what we're going to see in the Bible is that God, certainly in the way that slaves would be to be treated, and these kinds of things, they were to be treated as a human being, mm-hmm. not as an object, not as something, a tool to be used. And that was something that was totally in contrast to the culture around them. Mm-hmm. So in other words, whilst the Bible doesn't outright say, it doesn't outright, condemn slavery, it regulates slavery, and it actually enables this cultural practice to be done in a way that is still respecting the humanity of people.
Yes.
And which is, like I was saying, that's that's a huge step in a positive direction compared to all the other, cultures around, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. And God has worked with us step by step, because as we will see in the New Testament, I think that the Bible is a bit stronger when it comes to slavery than in the Old Testament, as you mentioned. He just regulated the way slaves were treated in a more humanly way, we can put it that way. Mm. I'd like to read a couple of lines from this same article just to comment on that. It says, New York fully abolished slavery in 1827, but businesses, including the predecessors of some modern banks, continue to benefit financially from the slave trade. Slave trading. What does the Bible say about slave trading? I wonder if you could read for us, please, Marty, in 1 Timothy 1, verses 9 and 10. There's a list of things that the Apostle Paul mentions there to Timothy that God doesn't like, God does not approve of. This is in 1 Timothy 1, verses 9 and 10.
Okay, I'm in there. I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Mm-hmm. And it'll probably read differently in different translations. I'm just reading from the New King James Version. It says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and in my version, it says in verse 10, for, was it 10 or 9, I think? It's 9 and 10, right? In my version, it says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, and the list goes on. In some other translations, it actually says slave traders. Let me get this other translation very quickly. 1 Timothy 1, 9 and 10. In this one says, we also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for the lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers. And then verse 10 says this, for the sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, and then it says for slave traders and liars and perjurers and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine. According to this verse and according to the Apostle Paul, trading of slaves goes against the will of God, against sound doctrine. So I think the point here is that the fact that the Bible talks about slavery doesn't mean that the facts that the Bible supports slavery. It simply talks to us about it so that we know what happened. But we can clearly see that the Bible is against it, like many other topics as well. It's an interesting one. Okay, time for a break. Let's enjoy a song by Carly Fletcher, In the Name of Jesus.
Salvation in the name of Jesus, in the sweet name of Jesus. Just claim his name and his righteousness. He'll stand for you, for he is true. There is salvation. Jesus' name. There is freedom in the name of Jesus, in the sweet name of Jesus. Just claim His name and His liberty. He'll release you, for He is true. For there is freedom, there is freedom in Jesus' name. There is power in Jesus' name, giving freedom from sin and shame. For He is true, for there is refuge, there is refuge in Jesus' name. There is power in Jesus' name, giving freedom from sin and shame. Just cry out to Jesus today, for there is power in Jesus' name. There is victory in the name of Jesus, in the sweet name of Jesus. Just claim His name.
You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A, and that was Carly Fletcher with In the Name of Jesus. Dear friends, our giveaway this week is the book What the Bible Says About by Lonnie Melashenko. The code you need to get a free copy of this book is SA234. Just text us in on 0488 808 11. What the Bible Says About by Lonnie Melashenko. This is basically 31 studies on important topics and a simple Bible marking plan that I'll explain shortly. So the Bible Says About contains two powerful aids to Bible study in one compact package. It's a very small book. First, there are 31 actual Bible studies on important topics such as the origin of sin, life after death, steps to Christ, angels, who they are, the Bible Sabbath, and more. Then there's also an easy-to-use Bible marking plan that will help you transform your own Bible into a virtual encyclopedia of biblical information that you can share with others. So this is just a simple color-coded plan that you can follow with key subjects throughout your Bible. You can learn and teach what God's Word has to say about many important topics. So there you go, dear friends. If you are one of those who are saying, I would like to give a Bible study, but I don't know how. I don't remember those Bible verses that I need to share. This is the book to get, because you can have this color-coded marking plan. You have so many different topics to talk about, and you simply follow those codes, those leads, and you will be able to give a Bible study very simply. So give it a go, grab your phones, and send us the code SA234. That's SA for South Australia, and the numbers 234 with no spaces in between. And our number is 0488-808-11. You can, of course, use that number at any time to send us your feedback or questions. If there's anything that was lingering in your mind about anything that was said during the show, text us a question or give us your feedback. We would love to hear from you. Again, the code is SA234 and the number is 0488-808-11.
When many voices claim to answer our most relevant questions, how many are actually turning to the Bible in search for truth? Truth matters, and the Bible has the answers to questions like, what happens at death? Can I safely talk to the dead? Why is the Sabbath a day of triple significance? How can I know whether I'm saved? Hello, my wonderful friends. I'm Pastor Ricardo Scheffer, speaker and producer for the Faith FM Drive Time Radio Show, and I would like to take you on a journey through the pages of the Bible in this free three-part seminar entitled Truth Matters, What the Devil Doesn't Want You to Know. Join me in person on Saturday, October 5th, for three different topics starting at 10 a.m. Adelaide time at Millicent Seventh-day Adventist Church, 45 Williams Road, Millicent, South Australia. For information, call 0419-184-395. That's 0419-184-395. Find us on Facebook and YouTube. Free lunch will be provided. See you then.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time BQ&A right across Australia with Pastor Ricardo, your host for today. And my co-host is Pastor Marty. He's our regular co-host every Tuesday, and he is the pastor of Sterling Seventh-day Adventist Church and Grace Adventist Center right here in Adelaide as well. Our theme for this week is Christianity in History. How positive was its contribution? And today we want to answer the big question, was Christianity bad news for slaves? So, Marty, how has Christianity influenced slavery in history?
Well, the first thing to say is that if it wasn't for Christianity, slavery would still be a very, very big thing in our world today, because it was really Protestant Christianity that took the leading role in abolishing slavery. You know, there was people such as William Wilberforce and John Newton. John Newton, of course, he actually used to be a part of the slave trade, and he used to, you know, captain ships where slaves were traded on and transported on those ships. And John Newton, of course, when he came to Christ, Jesus Christ changed his heart, and he and this meant that he put away slave trading. He, in fact, was the one who ended up writing the most famous hymn of all time, Amazing Grace.
Wow.
And just as a bit of trivia for those who may not know, but you can play Amazing Grace on just the black notes on the piano, which is known as the pentatonic scale. And they say that the tune for this song, the melody, it is unknown. And so who knows exactly, but John Newton wrote that incredible hymn out of a deep experience with the Lord. So if it wasn't for Christianity, we would still, you know, because when you look at the different nations, whether you look back in ancient times, ancient Egypt, ancient Babylon, all these ancient cultures, whether it was Greece, whether it was Rome, all of them had slaves. I mean, this was just a common thing. And this certainly continued throughout the Middle East. And of course, we know the history of America as well in the Civil War. And so we can see that, you know, there was, it wasn't just an easy thing to abolish slavery. You know, this is when we're dealing with people's really, you know, people's greed, their wealth, taking advantage of other people. And by the way, I think we shouldn't fool ourselves to think that we are rid of slavery in the world today either. Mm. It probably just, to be honest, it probably just takes more subtle forms at times. But, you know, the Christian faith is anchored in the Bible. And so I just want to read and let's consider a few passages that talk about slavery, both from the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I'm in Exodus chapter 21 to begin with. And the Bible says here, "Now these are the judgments which you shall set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant or a slave, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh he shall go out free and pay nothing. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. Mm-hmm. If his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. But if the servant plainly says, 'I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free,' then his master shall bring him to the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever," or in other words, for as long as he shall live. Mm-hmm. Now, straight away, it becomes apparent to me that whilst Israel had come out of slavery, I mean, they'd been in slavery, you know, for centuries in Egypt, and now they're coming out of slavery, and God's giving them instructions so that they understand that whilst, you know, whilst they weren't just going to sort of totally slavery apparently was so entrenched in the culture that God doesn't come along and just outrightly say, you know, get rid of it completely. You know, we acknowledge that that is a fact. God works with us, and he certainly worked with the culture of that time. But what we see here is that there was certainly this encouragement of fair treatment of slaves and not abusing the person who was a slave. In fact, you know, after 7 years, they were to go free. Now, the other thing here is quite interesting is that apparently it wasn't completely uncommon for a slave to come to the place where they would say, you know what? No, I want to continue to serve my master. I want to continue to live here and be a part of the family, the household.
Yes.
Now, this to me tells me that the slaves must have been treated quite well. Mm-hmm. Godly people, like Abraham, for example, had many servants, must have treated his servants incredibly well.
That's true.
They were part of his family. They were part of the, you know, he loved them. He cared for them. And so when you look at the lives of godly people in the Bible, we always see that they showed respect and dignity even to those who were under their employment and under their control ultimately.
Right.
The other thing is what we see here is that we notice that the regulations on slavery were different for fellow Hebrews compared to if you have a foreigner who was a slave. When you come to the New Testament, though, we see that there is a transition, or at least that there is a development that takes place when you come to the New Testament. And I'm coming to Galatians, and we're looking at Galatians, the third chapter. And in Galatians chapter 3, we're coming down to verse 26. And the Bible says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." God here is really getting rid of any racial distinctions, any status distinctions, and any gender distinctions that would have created a hierarchy. The Bible here which is Paul, who is writing this, is talking about the equality of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at what the Bible, you know, is promoting here, if you look at in its embryo form in the Old Testament, you see that God was saying, hey, if somebody is a Hebrew, you take care of them. I mean, Yes. You take care of a foreigner slave as well, but even more so if they're of your own brethren. You to take care of them, to love them, to respect them. Mm. When you get to the New Testament, you know, basically the Bible's saying, well, those racial distinctions are irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, no longer is there any, there's no possibility for someone to base their belief on the New Testament and then enslave someone for their own personal gain and advantage, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Sometimes people would go into, you know, they would become slaves in the Old Testament if they needed to pay a debt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, probably in some ways, we're all probably slaves to the banks. You know, we're all indebted and we have to work so and true. And it's a terrible thing really, isn't it? But, but you know, so this is the idea here. If you're in debt, you know, having some employment, having some work and having a good master is actually a very good thing.
And
I would go as far as saying this is a far better way of dealing with some of the, you know, the issues of not having enough money and owing money than what we do in our modern society where sometimes, you know, there isn't the opportunity for employment as much, et cetera. And sometimes, you know, welfare is handed out quite readily.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so we recognize that whenever you're dealing with these sticky situations of people owing money and things like that, there is no easy way to deal with that.
That's true. And you can see that the God's way of dealing with someone being in debt is by providing for a job. And even then, I wanted to read in Leviticus 25:39, God is very careful. He's very clear in saying that we should not be treated as slaves. See, Leviticus 25:39 says, if any of your fellow Israelites become poor and sell themselves to you, do not make them work as slaves. Very interesting here. He's not approving of slavery here. He's just saying if someone is going to pay for a debt by working for you, don't treat them as slaves.
But God was absolutely. They still have their rights. They still, you know, that's what I also see coming out of the Old Testament that there were certain rights that were given and those rights were to be protected. We certainly see a development as well when we come over to the book of Ephesians. And Ephesians chapter 4 talks – here Paul is actually – sorry, not chapter 4. It's actually chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we begin in verse 5. And this is actually interesting because this comes off the back of Paul talking about marriage. And then he talks about the way that children should be subject to their parents, etc., and the way that parents should treat their children.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul's dealing with these social...
different roles.
These social contexts, the context of marriage, the context of, you know, parents and children. And then he talks about this, you know, context of slaves and their masters. You know, these are all things that existed in that time. And so how do we navigate those, you know, those social contexts? And Paul lays out some powerful, powerful words here. He says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleases, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And so in other words, Paul's saying, look, if you are someone's slave, you know, Don't hate them, you know. Don't be a difficult person. Do the best of your ability, you know. Love your master, etc. And it says with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord, and not to men. And then it says, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. And so here, Paul is kind of like equalizing.
Yes.
He's saying at the end of the day, when we are part of God's family, you know, God is going to distribute rewards regardless of whether we're slave or free. We're all the I love this saying, and it can be a little bit cliche, but I think it's very powerful. And that is that they say that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And that is because there is Christianity is the great equalizer. There is, you know, there is the Bible sort of removes this idea of, well, someone is of far greater importance than another person and can look, and there's no room here for looking down upon and et cetera.
No, not for that attitude. I mean, Paul is not getting rid of different positions and status that exists or roles, but he's saying that under the eyes of God, we're equally important. In fact, in Colossians, there's another interesting verse, Colossians 4, verse 1. Paul is writing to masters who have slaves, and he says, "Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven."
Yeah.
So under God,
absolutely,
we're all the same.
Under God, we're all the same.
Equally important.
And we have to give an account to God ultimately. He's our ultimate master. You know, Ephesians says pretty much the same thing, actually, in chapter 6, verse 9. It says, "And you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there is no partiality in him." In other words, God doesn't have favorites.
No.
God respects all people. Well, God is no respecter of persons. He loves all people equally.
Yes.
And this was this is a huge step forward in a Greco-Roman world where, you know, slaves were, you know, from my understanding, they weren't given this type of
treatment. No, not at all.
This wasn't common practice. But, you know, excuse me, this is what God says. This is the ideal, to treat one another as ultimately as you would want to be treated. And this is, you know, this is a huge shift. And really where it's basically leading to is the idea that, you know, that slavery is not something that is part of God's plan ultimately. Because, you know, if the master is to really love that slave and do to them as and treat them recognizing that, hey, my ultimate master is in heaven, God, then the way that God treats me and the way that I respond to God is the way that the master should treat his slave. Yes. And then it says God shows no partiality.
Yes.
So you can see the progression that is taking place here.
Very good. If we do everything God's way, every relationship will be pleasant. Like, you know, husbands and wives and parents and children, masters and slaves. Everything would work really well. Good point. And it's time for a break, and let's enjoy a song by the Gentlemen Trio. The song is called "Redeemer of Israel."
Redeemer of Israel, our only delight, on whom for a blessing we call, our shadow by day and our pillar by night, our King, our Deliverer, our coming to gather his sheep and lead them to Zion in love. For why in the valley of death should they weep, or in the lone wilderness?
Lifetime BQ&A, what a song, the Gentleman Trio, Redeemer of Israel. We have a great Redeemer and he is coming soon. Dear friends, our giveaway this week is the book What the Bible Says About by Lonnie Melashenko. And good on you, Mark, and good on you, Joe, for requesting your giveaway. And I would encourage all of you listeners to grab your phones and text us the code SA234 to our drive time number, which is 0488-808-11. And you'll get this free copy of the book, What the Bible Says About by Lonnie Melashenko. Basically, 31 studies on important topics and a simple Bible marking plan. What the Bible Says About contains two powerful aids to Bible study in one compact package. First, there are 31 actual Bible studies on important topics such as the origin of sin, life after death, steps to Christ, angels, the Bible Sabbath, and more. Then there's also an easy-to-use Bible marking plan that you will help that will help you transform your own Bible into a virtual encyclopedia of biblical information that you can share with others. By using this simple color-coded plan, you can follow key subjects throughout your Bible, learning and teaching what God's Word has to say about each important topic. There you go, dear friends. If you are wondering how to give a Bible study, this is the way to go. Simply follow this Bible marking plan and you'll be going like crazy, giving Bible studies everywhere. Simply text us the code SA234, SA for South Australia, and then 234, no spaces in between, to our drive time number 0488-808-11, and you'll get a free copy of this book.
When many voices claim to answer our most relevant questions, how many are actually turning to the Bible in search for truth? Truth matters, and the Bible has the answers to questions like, what happens at death? Can I safely talk to the dead? Why is the Sabbath a day of triple significance? How can I know whether I'm saved? Hello, my wonderful friends. I'm Pastor Ricardo Scheffer, speaker and producer for the Faith FM Drive Time Radio Show, and I would like to take you on a journey through the pages of the Bible in this free three-part seminar entitled Truth Matters, What the Devil Doesn't Want You to Know. Join me in person on Saturday, October 5th for three different topics starting at 10 a.m. Adelaide time at Millicent Seventh-day Adventist Church, 45 Williams Road, Millicent, South Australia. For information, call 0419-184-395. That's 0419-184-395. Find us on Facebook and YouTube. Free lunch will be provided. See you then.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Welcome back, dear friends. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time BQ&A. This is Pastor Ricardo, your Drive Time host, and joining me in the studio, I have my friend Pastor Marty. The theme for this week is Christianity in History. How positive was its contribution? And the big question that we've been dealing with today is, was Christianity bad news for slaves? We've been talking about what the Bible says about slavery, but I think that there's also a spiritual meaning when we talk about slavery. Pastor Marty, I'm sure you have a lot more to say.
Absolutely. Yeah, I want to dive into that point in just a moment. Before that, there's a beautiful appeal that is actually written in the Bible. It's written by the Apostle Paul to a gentleman by the name of Philemon. And Philemon had a slave whose name was Onesimus. And Onesimus seemed to be a runaway slave. He seemed to be someone who, you know, was not the greatest of helps to Philemon. And Paul writes this incredible appeal because now Philemon and Onesimus have now both become fully committed Christians. They've committed their hearts both to the Lord. And it's powerful what he says. He says, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus. So Paul refers to this slave, this runaway slave Onesimus, as his own son, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart. Paul talks about Onesimus as his own son, as his own heart. He then says, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, by voluntary. But voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. Paul elevates Onesimus to equality with himself. Paul elevates Onesimus, calling him my son, my own heart, and a beloved brother. You see, the gospel transforms the way that we look at other people. The people, when we look at others, we should never look down on anybody. God sees in every person someone of infinite worth and infinite value. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus, the death of Christ on Calvary reveals the value of a human person.
So true.
And that is true regardless of social status, regardless of economic status, regardless of all these different measures that we as human beings place on people. God doesn't do that. God sees every person as of infinite value. And this is what emerges out of Christianity that is so unique. There is no caste system. There is no rank system. Every person is of equal value in the sight of God. And when we experience the love of Christ in our own hearts, we will never look down on another person. We will always treat others as we would want to be treated. That's what Jesus said. He said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yeah.
And he said, this is the entire meaning of the Old Testament scriptures. And so really, does Jesus, what does Christianity do for slavery? Well, in reality, it shows that all human beings are equal, that we are all created by God.
That is awesome.
And it's powerful, isn't it, that Jesus elevates that much. And, you know, if we could get that into our hearts, wow, it would transform the way that we treat each other.
And take it everywhere. For example, if we were to apply those principles at our churches, we would know that we all have different roles, different functions, different responsibilities. But at the same time, we are all equal.
Absolutely.
Under the eyes of heaven.
Absolutely.
Equally important.
Powerful. And so we praise God for how he has revealed these truths in his word. And really, it's my you know, it's my prayer that each of us could have look at people through the eyes of God and love people as Christ loves them, and see in every person a soul for whom Jesus has died. If we can, we can experience that, it'll transform the way that we interact with people.
It changes the whole thing, doesn't it?
Oh yeah.
When you see someone as someone else, as someone whom Jesus died for, that is totally different.
They're precious, they're valuable.
Yes.
And we need to do everything we possibly can to preserve their dignity and self-respect. Mm. And I'm never criticized, never condemned, never looked down on them, but rather encourage and uplift. And boy, you know, this is something that we need to bring into our homes. We need to bring it into our churches. Mm. We need to bring it into our neighborhoods, into our workplaces. And God's calling us as Christians to be the light in our different spheres of influence, isn't he?
Exactly. Very good study. Thank you so much for sharing those verses and thoughts with us and our listeners. And it's time to finish now. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you may help us all to see the world through your eyes, to treat each other as you want us to treat each other. We are amazed at how much you love us, how much we are important in your eyes. Even though we may have different roles, different responsibilities in life, thank you for reminding us that we are all equally important for you. Thank you, dear God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone, once again for tuning in. This was Pastor Ricardo and Pastor Marty. Please join us tomorrow for another Drive Time BQ&A show as we look at how Christianity influences the way the sick and the poor are treated. Until then, remember the Bible says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:32. May God bless you all.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.